Welcome to Conversations on Big Data, a series of discussions with agency leaders about the power of analytics to enhance how federal agencies meet their mission. In this podcast, we'll be discussing the use of data analytics at the Social Security Administration.
Good morning. I'm Laura Shane, Vice President for Research and Communications at the Partnership for Public Service, and one of your hosts for today's podcast. I'm sharing that duty with Brian Murrow, Associate Partner of Strategy and Analytics at IBM. Today, we get to talk to Gerald Ray, Deputy Executive Director of the Office of Appellate Operations at the Social Security Administration. And Gerald brought data to the law. So what do you do? Tell us what that means.
People are familiar with the retirement program of Social Security. We also have a large disability program. It's actually one of the largest administrative law programs in the United States, probably in the world. When people file a claim before us, they can be appealed to an ALJ, an administrative law judge, who can then hold a hearing and issue a decision. We have about 1,600 judges across the country and about 160 offices. What struck us is we needed to gather some information about how well we were doing that. So there's an assumption, I think, that a judge is an expert, and so because they have a lot of training in the law. But I wanted to know whether that was true or not. Well, I wanted to capture structured data about the quality of their decisions. So the thing that we did was we sort of mapped out the policy compliant pathing for decision making. Administrative law is quite complex. I think Justice Rehnquist described it as the second most complex area of law behind tax law. And certainly they have a lot of rules, but you can end up with about 2,000 different policy compliant decisions. There's about 2,000 points where you can exercise judgment. So we developed an analysis tool to capture information to see if the judges were following policy compliant pathing. And what we found is they don't always do that, but they certainly are trying to do that. They're very well-meaning and they're very knowledgeable and they know a lot about the law, but people can make mistakes and they can veer off the path. And if they do that, they can reach the wrong conclusion. So if you're trying to provide good public service, you want to give the consistent answer to all people who come before you with the same facts or the same type of facts. So that's what we're trying to do.
So was there a particular problem that you identified in this process that you were working to fix?
There were a couple different things. We had noticed that we were getting a lot of remands back from district courts. So after we finish our action, the case goes to district court, and the district courts are interpreting whether we apply the law correctly. And we'd had a pretty high remand rate from district courts for a long time. So I also wanted to capture structured data about what they were doing to see why they have a different view of the law than we do. That was one problem. The other is we had about a 25% grant review rate at the Appeals Council. And by that I mean when the cases came before us, we would return the case for a different action or issue a different decision at our level, some type of corrective action. Sometimes it's based on new material evidence, but a lot of times it was to fix something in a record. So it struck me that that was a very high return rate. We were sending a lot of cases back. And I thought we could improve that if we could get to the root cause of the problem. And the process we had was we had judges reviewing the work of the other judges. And so you have a lot of sort of judgment call in that. But there is an actual process, and we wanted to make sure that everyone followed the process so that when my judges return cases to the hearing level judges, that we would do that consistently. And so we'd get a more correct answer in the first instance. So I was trying to improve the quality of the work. I was also, though, trying to improve the quantity of work and the timeliness of work.
What role did data play in fixing that problem?
So we had a largely paper-based process and didn't have a lot of data. We had information about how many cases we did and how quickly we did them, the timeliness of processing and the productivity of the staff and those types of things. We didn't have much data on the quality of the work. We built an analysis tool to capture structured data. And that gave me the information I needed to figure out where the mistakes were being made. One of the data points that we capture is the reason why we would return a case to a judge. So we came up with 171 different reasons, which is pretty precise. It gives you a pretty good level of information. One of those is other. So as I find large groups of others, I can then tease that out and add additional reasons. We now are up to 183 reasons.
When did you start introducing analytics to SSA, and what's happened since that process?
I looked at what motivates people to do a good job. And so most people are reasonably self-motivated, but what can help them do a better job is if they have a clear understanding from management about what they want. So I worked on a group to develop new performance plans and standards for our staff, and that was back in 2005. And we rolled those out, I believe, in 2008, and we've seen pretty substantial improvements in productivity since then. So basically by ensuring that everyone understands what it is exactly we're looking for and communicating that on a regular basis. We tried to visualize the data, and we built some what we call heat maps. It's basically rows and columns of numbers, and you add color to them so that things will pop out, so you can see things visually very quickly. So some errors are individuals making mistakes, and some errors, if almost everyone's making a mistake, it suggests to me that there's a problem in the way the policy has been drafted. With the individual errors, you want to give more direct feedback to the individual so they can change their behaviors. I talked to a Nobel Prize winner, a PhD economist named Daniel Kahneman, and I asked him, what does it take to make someone truly an expert in what they do? He said, really, you need three things. Sort of a stable process where things don't change very much, and we have that. The law doesn't change very often. You need to be immersed in that process so you have a good understanding of that. Our judges certainly have that. And then you need feedback. So you have a lot of rules. It's very complex. They're too numerous for people to retain and remember them all. And you come up with your own version of how to apply them. And if you're not getting feedback, you assume that that's a correct way to apply it. With not enough feedback, people start to diverge, and they come up with different answers, and then you get the errors. So the net result of this is we had to find a way to give more direct feedback to the judges so they would make a correct decision in the first instance.
And how did you provide that feedback?
So one, we did direct training for our own staff. So we looked actually at how adults learn. Well, adults learn primarily by having some context to the learning. We taught people how to apply the law, not simply what the law was. And that has changed their behaviors in several ways. So one, we get more policy-compliant decision-making. Two, people understand the law better, and they can actually do the work faster. So we got two benefits from doing that. We also tracked the success of the people as they came out of training class. And I saw improvement for the first six classes that we trained. And in class seven, I saw a drop-off. And it turned out it was the actual use of instructors that was the problem, because it wasn't interactive enough. They got what you could get out of an instructor, but you could actually go faster if you simply immersed them into the casework on day one. So we've eliminated instructors from our live training. We simply tell people, open up this case and look for these things. We simply make them walk through the case.
More like a simulation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the original training we had, we did zero cases, and it was 8 weeks long. It took 18 months for people to be fully productive. Wow. Now we do 30 cases. The training is only 6 weeks long. We do all the cases, basically a case a day, and they're fully productive in 5 months. So we had a huge gain by changing the way we trained.
You said you put performance standards in place and created performance standards for the folks on your team. How did they react?
Okay, generally they didn't react as badly as you might think. I had information about how many cases had been done and of different types. What I realized, though, is there were different types of cases that required different amounts of time to do. So we could put a range around that, and we set the bar for successful performance.
How's the SSA's culture changed around analytics?
It's a huge shift. So first of all, you had the judges who thought they were experts, and of course they don't want to hear that they're not. You have managers who are very much into, we've always done it this way, and we don't need to make a change. And there was not a lot of use of data analytics. And one of the things that we did was we developed a more distributed model of leadership. So I push decision-making down the chain to the lower managers, but insist that they use data. I tried to drive out the notion that if you make a mistake, that that's bad. Everyone makes mistakes. We make mistakes all the time. And so rather than playing gotcha when someone makes a mistake, what I want to do is help you not make the mistake next time. So I encourage our people to problem solve. And so you change the culture in that way. You empower people to use their own imagination and come forward with their own solutions.
Are there other tools that you're using that are kind of game-changing and helping with decision-making?
Yeah, we do lots of visualizations. So we've been able to use that to find differences in medical treatment in the country. Certain types of impairments arise in certain parts of the country. So you're getting different types of claims from different places. There's different jobs available in different parts of the country, and we can get that type of information. All that's helpful.
This has been a conversation with Gerald Ray, Deputy Executive Director of the Office of Appellate Operations at the SSA. I'm Brian Morrow from IBM, here with Laura Shane from the Partnership for Public Service, and we hope you return for the next two podcasts in this series on using data for decision-making at the SSA.
These podcasts are presented by the Partnership for Public Service and the IBM Center for the Business of Government. To listen to conversations with other agency leaders, visit ourpublicservice.org/bigdata.